Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode number 560 of the Bold and Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by a woman orthopedic surgeon. Yes, they do exist. They do. Yes, of course they do. And we're going to be talking about the fact that she has a bone to pick with you. Just a little bone, okay? Now, today we have Dr. Kimberly Zambito. Now, she's a strong believer in providing individualized care to every single person. You are not taking a number. There you have it. So she earned her undergraduate and graduate degrees in exercise and sports science from the University of Florida. And her clinical interests include comprehensive hand and upper extremity care and bone health. She's published research in the field, and she successfully developed a comprehensive bone health program. And so she is all about bones. And here's something, my love. She has experience in private practice, academic practice, and on multiple deployments, deployments to very interesting environments with surgical teams in the United States Army Reserves. Thank you for your service. So these experiences, well, what can I say? Give her that no-nonsense approach. So, Kimberly, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Look, I stumbled upon you through a good friend of ours, Dr. Doug Lucas, who has really been pushing this whole issue about, can we just please stop forgetting about the fact that we own bones here, you know, in a big way? And then also the fact that you're really looking at a very special way of being able to scan bones and to be able to interpret them so that people know whether or not they're losing a lot of bone mineral density if they're falling into tough categories. But let me ask you a question. You know, just as a physician, you to me, what got you involved in orthopedic surgery? Why didn't you do something else? I'm an internist, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. I found in medical school, the first divergence is, are you somebody who loves the OR, or are you somebody who could give or take the OR? And for me, being in the operating room was just, I loved it. And I couldn't see myself not being in an operating room. So that's the first part of that. And then once you're in third year of medical school, as you recall, you're rotating through different specialties, and you even have an opportunity to rotate through different surgical specialties. And for me, orthopedics was hands down the top. I did love OBGYN.
Is that a little play on words? Hands down.
Maybe a little bit. I loved OBGYN too. So I loved women's health. The thing that I liked about OBGYN is you're taking care of everything. You have to have medical knowledge. You have to have endocrinology knowledge. You have to have surgical knowledge. So I loved that too. So I combined the fields of women's health as well as orthopedics, which some people thought was kind of odd, but I didn't find it odd at all. Every human being has bones, and I felt that women were kind of getting the short end of the stick when it came to orthopedic care. So that's why I combined the two.
Okay. What was it like going through orthopedic residency? I mean, were there other women? Just saying.
I was fortunate enough to have a program that welcomed women. Now, I finished medical school 25 years ago, so now we're seeing a different approach to how candidates are recruited into the residency programs. But I was very fortunate at the time. We had one woman per class. So we had the classes were four people per class. So it was a nice representation. So I had a group of women who supported each other. And I'll say for the most part, the men were supportive as well. I had an excellent class of guys and we all just kind of took care of each other.
Okay. So why not just keep chopping on people? Why did you decide to pivot and to, you know, look a little, take a deeper dive into what goes on with diagnosis and as well as treatment of bone health? What made you take that different turn?
Yeah, I still operate. I still love operating. When I was in private practice, I started adding bone health into the private practice. I didn't like the phrase fragility fracture clinic or fragility fracture liaison. So we turned it around and made it into something more positive as bone health. And as orthopedic surgeons,
I really like that and I applaud that. I've never liked that fragility thing. You know, immediately what comes to mind is I'm just a little potato chip that's ready to crack. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. That's not the way I feel. I feel strong. And, you know, according to my DEXA, I've got pretty good bones and everything. So, hey, why you do that? So I'm glad that you rephrased it so that it was more representative of a proactive and positive approach. You know, so kudos to you.
Thank you. I think we need a little more positivity in this world and to empower people to make good decisions for themselves in terms of their health. So I started looking into other ways. I had a practice partner who had left the practice who reached out to me and told me about a new technology. And so I was like, let me dig into this and find out what this technology is about. And the technology I'm referring to is REMS. Or people refer to it as Echolate REMS. Echolate is the company.
Could you please tell everyone what REMS stands for?
Yes. Radio frequency multispectrometry. Hold on. Give me a second, Pam, because it's a tongue twister. Radio frequency echographic multispectrometry. And so what it is an ultrasound technology, which is used to evaluate bone mineral density, but also gives a reflection of the bone quality. Because as we know, that we're just not density. Our bone strength is not just density. It's a combination of the density with the bone quality. And I like to take it a step further when I talk to clients and tell them, or even my patients who I take care of and following wrist fractures, that you have to consider the entire person. So you're more than just your T-score. You're more than just the report on the test. You're an entire human being, and we have to take that into account. Because as you know, there's plenty of people who have normal bone density who fall and break a bone, and there's plenty of people who've been diagnosed with osteoporosis who fall and never break a bone. What that tells me is that we have to look at the entire person and not just a DEXA report or a REMS report.
Okay, so when did you get wind of the fact that DEXA was probably not going to... Let's talk about DEXA. Okay, so back up. The standard of practice, the gold standard right now, is the DEXA scan. Explain that.
Right. Well, DEXA has been around for decades, so about four decades, and it is a tried and true standard that we've used for so long. But with any technology that we use, there's bound to be pros and cons to use of that technology. And also, we have to consider that as human beings interpreting these tests, we also have failures too, or have areas where we lack in the interpretation. And so what I feel is over the decades, we've relied so heavily on DEXA and the T-scores or Z-scores that we haven't really taken a stance in terms of how do we look at the person as a comprehensive being, look beyond just a T-score. And so when I take care of a person who has had a wrist fracture, because let's face it, I'm a hand surgeon, and that's how these people come to me, is they have a wrist fracture and I take care of it as an orthopedic surgeon. I always start with the question, how did this happen? And oftentimes it's a fall. Okay, well, how did you fall? And so I start digging into it. Sometimes it's a issue of, I wasn't paying attention. For some people, it's a balance issue. I had one patient who had a foot drop and nobody ever addressed her foot drop. So unless we're addressing those things and addressing the fall, it doesn't matter what their T-score is or what their DEXA results or REMS results are. We're missing the boat in terms of treating them as an entire person.
Okay, so you looked at them more holistically. You ask all the right questions, right?
Yes.
Why didn't you just feel comfortable with DEXA? Because again, that's what OBGYNs and family practitioners and everyone else are using as the gold standard to be able to determine what's going on with bone mineral density.
That's a great question, Pam. And so we in traditional medicine have treatment algorithms that we follow. And there are some physicians who stick to that treatment algorithm to a T. Not as pun intended with T-score, but they stick to that algorithm to the T.
I kind of like that, to a T.
And then you have other physicians who say, you know what, I know there's problems with DEXA, and let me just look at this person beyond that, because they want to look at these physicians really want to treat a patient holistically. And if you think about the way our medical system is designed, Pam, you know, we're seeing a high volume of people very quickly. And so sometimes those algorithms can be very useful, but sometimes those algorithms just don't fit a particular patient's scenario. And so that's when we have to bring in the art of what we do in medicine.
Mm-hmm. On the DEXA scan, so we can, again, I want to make sure everyone's super clear about what's going on. So on a DEXA scan, you classically get a T-score. Explain the T-score.
Right. So let's talk about the DEXA in general. For those who have never had a DEXA, what the DEXA does is it's used to estimate your bone mineral density, and it's two X-ray beams that are targeted. And what they do is they look at the absorption of those X-rays or those photons. And so you get an estimated value for your bone mineral density in the spine and in the hip. Now, there are other areas of the body, such as the wrist, but in general, we're looking at the spine and the hip. For the spine, it's L1, 2, 3, and 4. And then for the hip, we get the values of the femoral neck, the trochanteric region, and the total hip. So really the proximal femur. So based on those values that come to be, the bone mineral density is then compared statistically. The T-score compares your bone mineral density to a roughly 30-year-old Caucasian woman, whereas the Z-score is age, gender, and ethnicity matched. So for postmenopausal women, we typically use the T-scores. For women who are premenopausal or not in the perimenopausal phase, we use the Z-scores. And we don't use the term osteoporosis or osteopenia. We use the term low bone density for expected age range. So that's T-score and Z-score in a nutshell.
Okay. So that's what we've had forever. Now we also have added into the DEXA, well, as it were, extra software, which tells us about a trabecular bone score. Explain that.
Yeah, the TBS looks at just the spine, not the hips. So it's L1, 2, 3, and 4. And what it does is it looks at the pixels or the grayscale of the pixels and determines whether or not your bone quality is normal, degraded, or partially degraded. So the whole purpose of TBS is to gain a more comprehensive view of our bone health. And it's moving us in the right direction in terms of, hey, we want to treat people better, not just rely on bone mineral density. So I applaud the developers of TBS.
So again, the TBS gives you how much more data? What are you getting extra?
The bone quality. So if we
to bone quality. That's what I wanted you to.
Yes.
Yeah, because this was something that started the conversation, that you you know, we're really interested in looking at quality, not just quantity, as it were, in a big way. All right. Have you seen DEXAs that were problematic?
Yes, I see DEXAs that are problematic, but I also see DEXAs that are done really, really well.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why this is important is because all of this technology is moving along. You know, we have so many new ways to be able to now, typify what's going on with our bones, because no one cared before. We just kept getting DEXAs and calling it a day and whatever. So is the DEXA interpretation problem more with the spine or the hips or both?
It can be both. So all of these DEXA tests are dependent on appropriate positioning and what we call edge detection. So being able to correctly identify the bone as bone, whether it's the spine or the hip. So some of it is the technique that is problematic. Some of it is the interpretation of that DEXA. And oftentimes, you know, these reports are going to clinicians. We know what the treatment algorithm is, right? So if your T-score is minus 2.5, here's a medication for you. If your T-score is minus 2.5 or more positive, okay, maybe we'll keep an eye on it. But yes, it's both the actual acquisition of the DEXA that can be problematic, as well as the interpretation, to answer your question, Pam.
Okay. What I've seen are, you know, as women course through their 60s, especially in 70s and beyond, but it could be earlier, it could be in their 50s, that women could have issues in their lumbar spine, which involve curvature of the spine, something we call scoliosis, compression of the vertebra in the spine, which can cause some angling in strange ways, as well as osteoarthritis, which can form extra mineralization, which can kick off a more positive finding on a DEXA because it's reading through thicker bone, but the thicker bone is coming from osteoarthritis, not from high quality bone mineral density. So when these kind of women show up, I think that many times they may be getting falsely good reports on their lumbar spine, and that's an issue, because then what's the real truth here? More and more women have read about this new REMS modality to be able to garner more clarity about what's actually happening, because they actually even hear from their physicians, well, you've got a tough spine to read. Okay, well, what are we doing about that? And I would imagine, I'm not quite sure what happens in hips that makes it worse. Maybe, again, osteoarthritis could show up again, or, you know, once you have implants, things get a little more interesting in there and all the rest of it. What does a DEXA look like with an implant anyway?
So in short, you shouldn't be doing a DEXA on an implant to begin with. So that's all I'm going to say about that. If you happen to have a DEXA which shows an implant, then that really should not be interpreted, because the implant itself is going to give you a false reading. So again, this is where the art of medicine comes in interpreting these tests in the context of the patient. So I really want to stress that people are more than the results of their DEXA or even their REMS. We really have to look at the entire human being.
I completely agree. And a lot of women have also had spinal surgery, everything from stenosis to, you know, maybe some correction of compression of fractures and all the rest of it. And so that's got to make things a little hairier there too. I've always been fascinated with this, as I shared with Dr. Doug a while back, when I had, my hips are fairly clean, very straightforward, very healthy, you know, straightforward. Okay, fine. Not so much my spine. You know, as a lifelong athlete, you know, I picked up some osteoarthritis and at the same time, a little curvature. So now all of a sudden I have a spine whose DEXA I don't trust because I'm not sure what it's reading. And so I went out of my way to find a technician who was experienced with REMS. I love the fact that there's no radiation, which there is with DEXA. But I was thinking if I combine DEXA and REMS together, then I get a more holistic picture of what's going on. And that's precisely what took place. It gave me a much more accurate reading of my spine, something that would make more sense to me. It was a good reading, but it wasn't, falsely very positive, you know, for me. It was much more realistic. Interestingly, my score on my hips were precisely the same, both on REMS and DEXA. So I was kind of happy with that. I was like, okay, there's no confusion there. But it seemed to clarify what was going on in my spine. And so let's get into REMS. Now, how long has REMS been around?
So it's been around for about a decade now in Europe. In the United States, it gained FDA approval late 2018. They were starting to get a foot on the ground in terms of bringing it here to the U.S. when COVID hit. So in 2021, I got the first REMS unit in the United States that had the bone mineral density as well as the fragility score. And I found that there were a lot of people who were very interested in getting a REMS scan simply because they had an issue with their DEXA report. They just didn't believe, similar to you, like, this DEXA doesn't make sense to me. And so I found women reaching out all across the country to try to get a REMS scan. So now it's starting to gain footing here in the United States. Hopefully we'll start to see it more prevalent in every state. It is helpful in terms of early screening. As you mentioned, it is an ultrasound technology. There's no radiation. So to start to engage women before they're in that perimenopausal phase, I think is going to be key. And as you know, when we're younger than 65, we're not getting DEXAs unless there's an absolute medical indication for a DEXA.
Yeah, I got a real problem with that. And I've mentioned this on other podcasts. I think it's completely asinine that we start worrying about bone mineral density when it's too late. And that's at the age of 65. Where did 65 come from? It's the age at which Medicare will pay for a DEXA. Now, private insurance will pay for it too. I actually started getting mine in my 40s. Because of a strong family history of osteoporosis and my, you know. So, you know, given that, I was lucky, you know, in that regard. I believe that DEXA should start at the age of 40. I think you need to understand. Now, why? Many women say, well, why are you worrying about your bones then? Well, girlfriend, I got to tell you something. You know, hold on now. Sit down. Grab a chair. All right, your bone mineral density starts falling around the age of 30. Somewhere between 25 and 35 is a bell-shaped curve. But it starts going bye-bye. And if you are someone doing resistance training, getting all your calcium, vitamin D, et cetera, you can actually slow down that curve very significantly and still hold on to a goodly amount of excellent bone, et cetera, especially with the strength training and the nutrition. Okay. But, you know, it's relentless. It just keeps going on until the very end. And it really accelerates at the time of menopause because of, you know, typically the loss of estrogen. Now, if you're on an estrogen patch or, you know, whatever else, that helps mitigate it big time. And we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, I'm like a nutcase about, you know, you've got to get out there and get a scan. It just makes me crazy when I see a 60-year-old woman who I just say, hey, have you had your DEXA yet? What's a DEXA? Okay, well, shame on that medical provider for not bringing it up and not insisting that she gets something, for crying out loud. Otherwise, all these beautiful women out there are just circling the drain. And this is why we need to kind of, you know, hop on this in a big way. So, okay, I'll get off my little, my soapbox here.
I'm going to support you on your soapbox, Pam. I do believe that we need to start screening earlier. As you mentioned, we reach peak bone mineral density around the age of 30. And for some people, it starts to slowly decline. For others, they plateau. But once you hit that perimenopausal phase around 40, some women can lose up to 20% of their bone mineral density. So if we're addressing this when they're in their 60s, we've missed the mark. We've missed the mark completely. So I think I'm with you on the soapbox. I'll toot the horn too.
I'll make some room for you up here on the soapbox.
Thank you.
Okay, you and I can yell and scream. Well, there's more and more of us, especially as women physicians, who are getting to be crazy about this. This is absurd. You know, you need to, and if your provider hasn't brought this up, whatever provider it is, whether it's a nurse practitioner, PA, you know, physician, OBGYN, family practice, internal medicine, you know, you wag your little finger at them and say, how come I'm not getting, you know, my very first, you know, scan one way or the other? And of course, they're going to write for a DEXA because, you know, hopefully it's mine, again, was covered by insurance, and many people do have excellent insurance coverage. Medicare will not cover it until 65. Shame on Medicare. But I believe the U.S. Preventative Task Force about a year ago or so presented Medicare with a report that said that DEXA should be covered starting with the age of menopause. Okay, I'll go with menopause. That's around the age of anywhere from 50 to 52. I'm good with that. That's a great start. You know, the holy grail is the beginning of perimenopause, one way or the other, and that's it. Now, listen, when we come back, I want to really get down and dirty about how REMS works, how you access it, the science behind it, and all those good things. So hold on. If you've ever picked up a product and thought, I have no idea what half of these ingredients are, this one's for you. SkinSafe is an app developed by Mayo Clinic that takes the guesswork out of shopping for skincare and personal care products. It uses decades of clinical research to analyze ingredients and match products to your unique skin profile, so you always know exactly what's safe for you. Whether you have sensitive skin, allergies, or just want to be more intentional about what you put on your body, SkinSafe makes it simple. Download the app for free and use the link in the description to get 20% off a SkinSafe premium membership. And we're back. Okay, let's get down to it about this REMS thing and where this might fit into the paradigm. Now, I'm going to step back for a second and ask you, have there been human trials published in peer-reviewed literature that show efficacy, meaning that it works, and that the results and the outcome of what the REMS report is are excellent and up to, you know, excellent standards? All right, so tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are peer-reviewed articles out there. The research was done in Italy. The company is based out of Puglia, Italy. All the research, the initial research, was done in Italy with human beings, okay? Their initial database was 5,000 people. They compared REMS results to DEXA results and found that there was a high sensitivity and specificity when it came to determining the bone mineral density. Now, when it comes to bone quality, the fragility score is what REMS deems as bone quality. There was nothing to compare with in terms of DEXA. You know, we can talk about TBS, but really nothing in comparison. And so what these really smart people did in Italy is they said, what is it that we're trying to prevent? Or what is the marker of weak bone? And that marker of weak bone is fracture, right? And so what they did is they took their 5,000 individuals, roughly 5,000 individuals, they tracked them over 5 years, and they asked the question, did you have a fracture or did you not have a fracture? And so what happened with the REMS technology is the technology collects, let me back up, the ultrasound waves go down to the bone, interact with the bone, bounce back to the transducer, the computer, the AI in the processing device, then evaluates that. And it asks the question, do the sound waves coming from this person's bone, are they more similar to people who have had a fracture, or are they more similar to people who have not had a fracture? And that's essentially the dividing line and how the device works in terms of fragility score. If you really want a deep dive on the physics of it and how that technology works, there is an excellent webinar. It is probably the best explanation I've read or listened to on how the technology works. And that is on the IIMHE website. So it's IIMHE.org. And the presenter is Dr. David Tognarini. Excellent, excellent webinar going into the physics of it and how the technology works.
Okay. And the other thing that people need to know is that when you do a DEXA, you go into kind of a radiology looking room and you lay on your back and they position your legs certain ways, you know, for the hips and the rest of it. And then again, to your point, you've got those rays coming in and capturing bone mineral density for the report. Now, for the REMS, they actually run the little ultrasound right over your tummy. So you're on your back again. However, you just have ultrasound. And so it's not coming in from the sides, it's from on top. And when it's not coming in from the sides, then you're not seeing all the extra noise that takes place, which is the curvature and the extra, you know, osteoarthritis and whatever else was going on in your wild and crazy spine. It just tends to clear through that. And I think that that's, you know, one of its winning capacities too. But that's what you do with ultrasound anyway. You always roll it over the area that you're most interested in a big way. Now, what does that report look like? Tell everyone.
Oh, it's a colorful report. So I think it's a very good looking report. Your first page is essentially a summary. It has your bone mineral density graph. It has an image, you call it a cartoon image or an animated image of your spine or your hip. When it comes to the spine, it'll show each vertebra as a color. If the color is gray, that means enough data was not acquired to process that. And oftentimes it's because there's gas in the abdomen blocking our view of the vertebra at that particular level. Page 2 includes the fragility score graph. Page 3 combines the bone mineral density with the bone quality or the fragility score in order to come up with a risk calculation or a risk factor for you. So it is it offers a combination of the fragility score with the bone mineral density to provide you with a 5-year risk fracture risk.
Okay, so you get a 5-year fracture risk.
Yes.
All right. And how accurate is this REMS testing?
Any technology you use, I'm always cautious to say accuracy because there is a component of the technologist's skill in providing whether the DEXA or the REMS. So in the hands of a skilled technician, it can be very accurate. That being said, whoever is reading or interpreting it must interpret it in the context of your personal health. You gave an excellent example of your DEXA in comparison to the REMS. And you've mentioned with the REMS, if somebody has scoliosis or somebody has arthritis, you know, what we call osteophytes or bone spurs in their spine, these can give us a false reading on a DEXA. However, REMS eliminates those issues. So I feel in some instances it's more accurate than a DEXA. In other instances, it's the DEXA and the REMS run parallel and they're correct. So you have to take the accuracy part into context because everybody wants to compare it to DEXA. I hope I answered your question.
Well, yeah, this is important because now my question is, it's not part of the standard operating procedure for bone health, REMS. What's it going to take to achieve that milestone?
Oh, gosh. It's going to take acceptance or curiosity in the traditional medical community. I think that's going to be the first thing. The other component is patients and clients pushing for an alternative, especially if they're not interested in having radiation exposure. Even though DEXA is such a low dose radiation, there are people who have absolutely no interest in exposure to radiation. So I think it's going to have to come from patients and from the traditional medical fold in terms of, hey, let's offer people another option for screening. And also, you know, advocacy. I think advocacy in terms of let's start screening people at a younger age. And REMS is the perfect technology to begin that screening because you're not worried about cumulative radiation dose. So those are the three arms as I see it.
Okay. So I have one other challenge, and that's important. You mentioned it yourself, and that is it's the expertise of the technician. You know, we've all had, you know, radiology technicians who've maybe had an issue with correct positioning or whatever the issue may be, many times requiring us to have repeat x-rays, et cetera. And when it comes to REMS, one challenge I think right now to the movement, as it were, is to have more standardized training and technicians, because right now it's a little bit of a Wild West. And that is, you have some people who are just sort of wandering with their machine, and they're not really that accurate in terms of being a technician. Their background is not particularly great, et cetera. Whereas, you know, with someone like yourself, I know that you're associated with a REMS group, and I can imagine that your technicians, you and your technicians, have high-level experience and training in standardizing and keeping uniform how you perform this. How do you see this challenge being resolved?
Right. That's a great question. About a year ago, I shared a document with Doug's group. We mentioned Doug Lucas earlier in the discussion, the Osteo Collective group, so that people can ask questions. Like, these are the questions you're going to ask if you have concerns about your REMS scan technician. You know, go in there, ask these questions, because most of these people are charging an out-of-pocket cost. The other thing, like you mentioned, I am involved with the IIMHE, the International Institute for Musculoskeletal Health Education, and we are developing a standardized training program. While Echolite does provide training for those who purchase the device, we want to take this training above and beyond so that we can maintain a standard for anybody who is providing REM scans. But at the very basic level, you should have somebody, a technician, who understands anatomy and also understands proper use of the device or the technique.
So this would be a national certification?
We're hoping for international certification.
Ah, okay. And so is REMS being used in Europe?
Yes. As I mentioned, it was developed in Italy. The individuals I'm partnering with are Dr. Nick Birch, Dr. Paul McGee. We have Dr. David Tognarini, who's in Australia. So there's, among others, but it's an international group. And so we really want to establish standards for use of this technology.
And so right now, if someone wanted to get a REMS and they were somewhere in the United States, wherever, and they weren't lucky enough to be near where you are, where they could go and have this done by people who are highly trained, how do you find a REMS practitioner? How do you find someone to do a REMS test?
Echolight keeps a list of the people who have the device. And so you can start off with that group and then, or that website, and then ask those questions that I had mentioned. Ask those before you schedule a REM scan and spend the money to have the REM scan done. That's where I would start, Pam, is just start with the Echolight website and ask the questions.
So Echolight website. Okay. Yeah. You said that the REMS is FDA approved. Does that mean it's a class one device? Class two usually requires prescription or something else?
I believe it's class one, Pam. It doesn't require a prescription.
Okay. So no prescription. But do you have on the radar the ability to get insurance reimbursement for this?
That's a great question. So right now, as far as I know, I'm not involved with Echolight, so I don't know the ins and outs of where they stand with this. But they have a T code or a temporary CPT code. And in terms of reimbursement is all over the place. So if you're looking to do, from a business perspective or, you know, a hospital business perspective, if you're looking to get a device, but you don't have, you know, a good reimbursement rate to pay for the device and the technician, you're not going to get that. So yes, the short answer is yes, there is a T code, a temporary code for a CPT code. It's just most of the people who have these REMS devices are not taking insurance, because they're not medical professionals and are not credentialed in such a way, but B, there's such a variety or a variability in reimbursement of these T codes.
Do you see REMS taking the place of DEXA?
I see it as an adjunct test, adjunct technology.
So what you're saying is, you know, I'm trying to understand how this would work. You know, as a practitioner, I'd kind of say, okay, well, how's all this working together? So do you first get a DEXA? If the DEXA is problematic, or if the patient already says, you know, I've got like, you know, prior vertebral fractures, and I have a lot of osteoarthritis and blah, blah. So you already know, it's like, uh-oh. Is it a 1-2 step? Is it like first a DEXA, then a REMS?
So I think it depends on the patient, right? So if you're looking at a 40-year-old woman who can't get insurance to pay for a DEXA, then what's your option? It would be a REMS test to at least begin the screening process. If you're looking at somebody who has a fixed income, such as somebody who is retired, who doesn't have a source for income and relies on Medicare, then you would go for a DEXA. So I think it really depends on your patient or your client in terms of where their comfort level is in terms of, you know, their financial well-being. I have clients who come once a year to get a REMS study. I have clients who will do the DEXA 1 year and on the opposite year do the REMS so that they have two methods to track bone health. And I have clients who, you know, they're curious about REMS, but they just say, I can't afford to get it. I can't afford to pay out of pocket. So I see it as a useful tool in our toolbox to engage people on bone health.
So on average, how does the cost of DEXA stack up next to REMS?
Yeah. So if you have insurance paying for it, then you have insurance paying for it. If you're paying out of pocket, I've seen ranges from like $200 up into like $1,200 out of pocket.
For which one?
DEXA.
Mm-hmm.
For REMS, on average, I would say it's about $200 to $400 for a REMS scan.
Okay. And how often do you get a REMS? How often would you recommend it?
Right. I recommend it once a year. As I mentioned, I do have clients who decide to do DEXA and REMS. And so in that instance, they'll do the DEXA 1 year. And since DEXA can be prescribed every 2 years, on the opposite year, they'll do the REMS. So if they see a change in their bone health, like a drop in their bone mineral density on both technologies, then you say, hey, something real's going on here and we need to do something about it.
Okay.
I hope that answered your question.
Where do you practice?
Where do I practice? So I'm an employed physician, and I work for a large university health network for ham surgery. I do not do bone health for that large university network unless I've seen somebody and taken care of a fracture. Then I'll engage them with regard to their bone health, and I partner with the endocrinology team for that. In terms of providing REMS scans and education, I work in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and I have my own business. It's called Qualis Os. So that's Latin for quality bone.
Excellent. Fantastic. So what you're really doing is you're living in two worlds right now, the world of a lot of the standardized care, surgery, and all the rest of it. And then you're also on the cutting edge with REMS. Which is interesting. And the reason why this whole show was important to me was because REMS is starting, you know, to become more mainstream, as it were. And I'm getting a ton of questions about it because, you know, we talk a lot about the usual standard of care, which is DEXA. But again, so many women especially have issues and challenges with trying to interpret, especially their lumbar DEXA. And constantly ask me, isn't there another way to do this? Or, you know, I can't trust what I'm reading here and I really need an accurate reading because it's making me crazy. And that's when I began to go down the REMS route just to understand what that was all about. So I think that right now, this is currently evolving, that I hope that there is a national, let alone international, certification for the technicians so that we know that everything is standardized instead of the way it is now, which is a little more, you know, it's like if you have the machine, well, good luck. And, you know, we hope you know what you're doing. And clearly in your hands, I would have no problems with that. But again, there's a lot of variability in the field. And we need to decrease that significantly and get it to where it belongs. I would also say that, you know, if they could do more and more studies, because you know how we are as practitioners, show me the science, make me feel comfortable, especially if it's brand new. And, you know, I don't know much about it as a provider, right? So I had to go out of my way to learn all of that myself. But all my brethren are out there saying, well, what is this again? And how do you do this? And what's the science? And the first thing out of their mouth is, where are the studies? So that I can sit down and at my leisure, just read the thing. So that's kind of, I think, where we are right now. Does that make sense?
I agree wholeheartedly, Pam. I tell patients whenever a new surgical procedure comes in, I say, let's just wait and see. You know, I like to give it 5 years before I even consider doing it on a family member. So, I felt the same way about REMS. So, you know, I was like, gosh, I'm curious about this. And, I dug in and found that I thought it was it was a valuable tool in our armament, especially when we want to engage people about their bone health at an early age.
Excellent. Can you share with everyone your website so that if they could, they want to learn more about your wonderful work, and if they have any questions, or if they're actually lucky enough to be somewhere near where you are, that would be fantastic. What's your website?
It is www.qualisos.com. That's QUALISOS.com. So let me say that again, QUALISOS.com. And the website is, it's dedicated to empowering you with knowledge so that you can make good decisions for yourself, decisions that are right for you. The resources on the website are free. So dig in, have a good time reading.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm all about education. I need to, you know, I need to see the education in a big way because there's so much junk out there, you know, TikTok and the rest of it, and I can't stand that. That makes me absolutely nuts. So once again, everyone, we've been enlightened about a new therapy, a new, well, actually a therapy. It's a modality to be able to measure bone mineral density and quality that could be used adjunctively to your DEXA, and it's called REMS, R-E-M-S. And I really feel like it's important for all of us to stay on the cutting edge of what's out there, especially if you have one of those problematic DEXAs where you can't quite read it and you're not quite sure, and you know, and there you have it. So it's an issue. So we've been talking with Dr. Kimberly Zambito, an orthopedic surgeon who is in the know and is actually using the REMS in a practice to be able to get a more holistic, comprehensive picture of what's going on with each individual's bone health. And I think that that's super important so that we don't just take a number and we're like everybody else. That's never going to work. So, Kimberly, thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you do, Pam. Really appreciate
you. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you know, it takes an entire team, squad, you know, the whole thing. We all have to do this. This is why bringing on experts like yourself to help enlighten is terribly, terribly important. So thank you, Kimberly. And I also want to thank my sponsor, Skin Safe. Now, stop guessing what's safe for your skin. Skin Safe was developed by Mayo Clinic using real clinical research to analyze ingredients and build a personalized safety profile just for you. If you run on over to skinsafeproducts.com, you'll be able to read all about it and look at those products. It's countless products you're going to be able to understand because they've been critiqued by experts. Whether you're managing a skin condition or you just want full transparency in what you buy, SkinSafe takes the guesswork out of every single purchase. So download the app for free today and use the exclusive link in the ad to get 20% off SkinSafe Premium, because knowing what's safe for your skin shouldn't cost you full price. I love this whole thing about SkinSafe. It's like, you know, you go into some pharmacy, whatever, it's like, you're kidding me, right? I don't even know where to begin. It's too crazy. So SkinSafe has it all. Okay, now take a moment and leave us a review, because we love to hear from you. And this was a wonderful, wonderful episode. So this has been a production of Podcast Health. And I just want to leave you with a couple little thoughts today. One is a Persian proverb: seek truth in meditation, not in moldy books. Look to the sky to see the moon, not as a reflection in the pond. get outside. Stop, you know, sitting around and in a dark corner somewhere. You know me by now. I'm an outdoor nutcase. Get on out there. Look to the sky to see the moon. I love that. All right, get out there and seize the day, everyone. Thanks for listening.